Welcome back to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. This is Emily Thomas, and let's not run away from home this week, okay? Turns out perfection is nonsense, and we can have peace if we just change our perspective. The problem is everyone on Instagram makes perfect look really real. I unfollow those people. Do you? If somebody's making you feel bad, don't follow them. Stop it. So this week I had quite a perspective shift. I feel like I'm constantly talking about my medication and how it wasn't working. So, well, I just had some side effects I didn't like. And so I tried to change this medication. It's been 2 months. 2 months can feel like 19 years when you are dealing with changing your medication. And you know what I did? I tried several different ones and I tried nothing for a while and I gave up and I cried psychopharmacological uncle and went back on the one that I stopped 2 months ago. So anyway, not sure what the point of that was, but it is what happened and I'm feeling a lot better. Turns out you don't know what you have until it's gone. Didn't someone write a song about that? The grass was not greener over at the other antidepressant. So anyway, whatever, I'm back. And there's that. So, marketing department, I'm here with an announcement from Sarah Kanisha. Had a great idea on Instagram. She said that we should get Mom Struggling Well diapers and wipes so that everybody can see daily and hourly, can be reminded about the show. So all I need one of you to do is start a diaper company that will rival Huggies and Pampers. So let's make this happen. In your spare time, take over the diaper industry. Thanks a million. All right, so listen, if you haven't listened to episode 206, the first ones with Sarah Beth, please go back and do that or this is not going to make any sense. Okay, if you have listened to 206, you are very interested to see what happens next with Sarah Beth and her escape from a crazy cult. And even if you've not been in a cult, you are going to find this incredibly helpful regarding forgiveness, regarding trauma, regarding rebuilding your life after something hard, regarding knowing yourself and seeing that God had a plan, even in the midst of things going terribly wrong. All right, let's go ahead and get started. I just want to say you, I know it's been a while, but you're so healthy and grounded in. I can tell you've done a lot of work because you do not come out of that.
No, unscathed. No. And I'm not unscathed. I mean, I am really part of the problem of me is that I'm super good at seeming together too. That's one of the roles I played was smiling and happy all the time. Because you could not, when my mom divorced my dad, when like, whatever, she signed the papers or whoever signed the papers, I wasn't allowed to grieve it. I was told you need to be happy. She's evil. So I didn't get to deal with my emotions and I have spent the last 6 years becoming emotional and hating it and then loving it and feeling like now I'm a normal person and then learning about the Enneagram and it's helped me so much understand. I thought I was a one because sevens put a one in stress. Well, guess what? My entire life was stress. So, you know, like I've been like, I'm fun. Like this is fun. And not ones are not my husband. I'm pretty sure is a one. I love ones. But I noticed when I start getting stressed, I start getting like, it has to be just like this. And everything has to be. And if it doesn't, it's my fault. And it's a spiritual matter. And I'm like, oh, you are not healthy right now. You need to chill out, girl. You need to go have some fun. Yeah, it is. There's a lot of work. There's been a lot of good patient friends. There's been a whole lot of panic attacks, crying, husband being very patient. There's been a lot of running out of church crying. There has been a lot of mess. Too.
Talk to me about that, like the grieving, like you weren't supposed to grieve in that. Let's talk about grief and faith and God and what's helped.
The book of Job is one of my favorite books of the entire Bible. I went through a period of time. It was actually right when I met who would become my husband, which that's a whole cool story there too, how God brought me my husband. But I was becoming borderline suicidal. Like I was really afraid to be left alone with myself. The pain was too much. And I was attending a church where they were blaming me for my depression, and they were not helping me through the trauma. They were telling me if I would just take my thoughts captive, I'd stop having the PTSD nightmares and those sorts of things. So I was bearing those burdens. I was bearing the burdens of, you need to wear long skirts now. And there was a lot on your outward appearance. There's a lot on like women's roles that I don't believe anymore.
So this was in your new church.
Yeah. Very rule-based. And they would say they're not, but they were. So it was very appealing at first because I know if I do these things, I'm accepted. And then I started feeling the weight of it. And I felt like I was bleeding out on the floor, but all people cared about was like, is she meek and quiet? Which meant, doesn't mean like a mouse. It just is your heart and disposition towards God. And so there was no place for my personality there. I was told to calm my personality down, that I was different than the other girls. And it's because I'd become worldly at school. And so I was trying to not be expressive and assertive. And there was a lot of things that's a whole other conversation too, because I really love those people. But it was a burden on me at a time when I was in trauma and I needed people just to tell me, it's okay for you to feel like this. This isn't your fault. This is someone else's fault for once in your life, you know? Yes. And so I was at a point in my time right after leaving, and they didn't believe in women working outside the home. So they believed in either you're underneath your father's covering or your husband's. And so they had told me, you're only allowed to have a home business. So I was teaching violin lessons and I was sewing. I had a sewing business. And
so you could work, you just had to stay at home while you did it, kind of.
I had to stay home. I couldn't have a boss that was like, it doesn't make any logical sense really, but yeah, I had to work from home, and the church was subsidizing like the rest of whatever I needed. They were helping me financially.
Oh wow.
Okay. Which was scary when I left them, because I left them too. And so I was feeling all this weight on me, and I realized I have never pursued healing. Like it's been 6 months. I thought I'd be fine by now. That's ridiculous. It's so funny. I'm like, what in the world? And I think I need to pursue healing. I want to go stay with my grandma, and I need to cancel plans. I need to cancel my lessons. I have to get out of here, and I need to go pursue healing. And I told them that, and I was met with resistance, and I ended up just going anyways. And it was hard, but I got to my grandmother's house and I just like laid around and I practiced writing in my journal, like just plaguing my brain with a bunch of lies. And I'd write it out and I'd be like, that's a lie. And then I'd write out the truth.
Yes.
And I'd say, this is what God's word says.
Yeah.
And I would just replace it as best I could. And I just decided to read the book of Job, and I read it that week, and it saved my life. And I'm not exaggerating, because like I was not okay. And I didn't have anyone who could say to me, like, it was still in my mind, like sinful to say I'm depressed. Like I had emailed one of my law school professors and I wrote him, because he was one who deals with abuse within church environments. And I said, I think I'm depressed. And I knew I could tell him that, but it felt like I was like confessing a sin.
Yeah.
And
I killed someone or something. Yeah.
Like, yeah. And it's like, oh my gosh, you lost your whole family in the entire life you've ever known. Of course you're depressed. Like, what's wrong with you? And also you've like been abused your entire life. And your whole, and it was grappling with my whole life was a lie. Like, what do you mean? And so just trying to unpack it all. Anytime I ever tried to understand it in my own strength, all of it at once, is when I would spiral down. And God had to teach me, like, I'm going to do this one piece at a time. Just let me bring up. And it has been like layers, like, just as like, this is what we're going to deal with for right now. And it would be a theme. And I can look back and see themes over, like, that's how he did it. So the book of Job, when it says, and basically, I know my Redeemer lives, when Job says that, I just was like, that's all I need. That's all I need. And I watched Job go through all he went through. And I learned a type of submission to the Lord. And that word can be very triggering for some people, of course, especially in abusive marriages or in abusive churches or in abusive any kind of relationship. But I just learned he has this, and I just have to like just go with this through this with him. And so that is what I learned. And it was through learning that we can bring our laments to God. We are not supposed to pretend like it's okay. And that I can tell him that I'm mad. Because I got mad at God. I'm not even going to pretend like I was like, God is so good. Like, I was like, who the heck are you? I start realizing like you're in charge and you let this happen. That was like, I was like, we're not talking right now. And then I would start praying and I was like, fine, we're talking. But it was just, and I know there's some people who might think that was irreverent of me, but I'm like, God knows my heart. He knows my heart. And like, if I'm just going to, and I don't recommend being disrespectful to the Lord, but I'm just saying, if you're angry with him, tell him that. Read the Psalms and know that David was very honest with God. And yes. I identified with those Psalms so much. I mean, I lived in the Psalms.
Yes. That's what I did when I left. I just was in the Psalms. I read all the time, but I felt like I was with God, like I was holding his hand, but I was not even looking him in his face. I was so mad. Like, I'm with you, and I am mad about it. But I have nowhere else to go, and you and I both know I'll get over this, but oh my gosh, I'm so mad.
Yeah, and then you realize, and it's a strange mix of God didn't want this to happen to me. Like, this is brokenness, but in his sovereignty, this is my life story, and reconciling that it's bad and wrong, and that you can never make me say that it was good, but yet he works it for my good. And that is that balance, and even working in forgiveness, which is like, whew, that was last year's theme. That was fun. Cause I was like, I don't know God. And he's like, we're going to talk about this. And it was mm-hmm. the theme of every sermon I happened to turn on. I'm at my aunt's house. She turns on a sermon and it was forgiveness. And there's just so much there. If there's anyone listening, that's a victim of anything. And I don't want to call it, you are a victim, but I also want to call you a survivor. It isn't that you have to tell someone that it's fine what happened to them, because Jesus dying on the cross means that none of our sin is fine. God didn't say it's fine what happened. It's been dealt with. And so that's why I can let that burden go, because that's hurting me, you know? And so that is what God was really showing me, is like, you hanging on to your pain to like validate that what happened to you was wrong is actually hurting you. And the other guy, he doesn't care. He doesn't even care. Like, he dropped you like a hot potato or whatever, and you were gone. Like, he was done with you. When you saw who he was, you basically are a threat. And so he's not at home worrying about, you know, his effect on your life.
Yeah.
And that's a big, hard one to get to. It took me 5 years to get to that one. But
girl, yeah. So you love Job.
I do love Job. David.
Oh, no kidding. I love David. I also love Peter, because he messes everything up. And
I know.
And I love that. That's so much freedom in that.
Yes. He denied the Lord 3 times and swore about it. And God still used him to start his church. And, you know, it's good. It's really good.
So tell me about depression and therapy and being a Christian. And can you do both at once? Can you be in therapy and be a Christian?
You can. Yes. So depression, anxiety, all these things. Depression and anxiety often to me are like indiscernibly the same a lot of times. I think there are times when I distinguish between when I'm being sinfully anxious, when I'm trying to take control of a situation and worrying, or when my body is being hijacked by the wonderful way God made us as our alarm system that something's wrong. And so I think depression, anxiety, and when it's certainly like clinical, or when and really I can't judge anyone's personal situation, but I look at my life and I see this is like a chemical reaction to evil. And my body is telling me this isn't right. And this is what happens when you go through someone else's sin in your life. And then it certainly allows there to be ground for you to become sinful, because I have sinned through this process. I have not come through this like, oh, she's such a poor little puppy. And no, I've been really mean, and I've been rude to my husband. I have I've taken it out on friends. I've done I haven't trusted people. I've disobeyed God's word out of fear. I've done all of those things, but my feelings are not sinful, and feelings are just are signs that something's going on either with us or with someone else. And so, yes, I recommend therapy. I actually haven't had a whole lot of luck with therapy for me. And some of that's because I was forced into therapy while I was in the cult. So the leader's son was a counselor, and I stood up for myself against the daughter one time and told her, not off, but I just told her like she didn't know what she was talking about. And I got in a lot of trouble, and I was told that I needed counseling because I had serious issues. So it was like extra brainwashing, like special brainwashing just for me. And and so for me, counseling, I'm kind of like, I like counselors. One of my best friends is actually a therapist. And I kind of feel like I've read books about it, and that's like how I've done it. And it's expensive. That's been another hard thing. And one of my dreams one day is to be able to give legal counsel and provide counseling services to people who are coming out of this for free, because you can't afford to tell your story, because you can't even get it out in like a session. Like you can't, I had nothing. Like when you leave, a lot of times you're financially abused, you have nothing. So some, a lot of the times it's women, and you are, have you've been financially abused by a husband, or you have been financially abused by an institution. So I had $0. There's no way I can spend money on a counseling session.
And especially because you think it's your fault. And so,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or I think it's wrong to, I do not think it's wrong to have counseling. I believe in it. I'm interested in EMDR. I've read about it and I feel like it might help me.
I have done it for years and it's changed things for me big time.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I keep hearing. And so I think it's something that I'm warming up to. I will say this, and I'm not recommending this. Like, I'm not going to give a dangerous counsel to people of like, God can be your counselor, but God has been my counselor and yeah. I give him the credit. I think he's pointed me in the right direction of how to methodically replace in my brain. Like I can analyze a situation and look and see like, this was the trigger. This is what really happened. This is what you think happened. This is, you know, how to deal with it. And I'm able to like do that, but that's just because God made my brain like that.
Yeah. You have that logical, analytical, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's helpful, but that's not saying you don't need to seek outside help. I think I need outside help still. Like, and I think now that I'm kind of more like calm, it might be better for me because I'm able to be like, this is what I want to talk about instead of like, oh, like I don't even know what's happening. Yeah. The world is overwhelming. So absolutely, it's not sinful. And even, okay, guess what? Even if you are sinning, there's grace for that. And it's okay to admit what you're struggling with. I mean, we're not perfect. We are sinful. And so we're not in this race to be the best, right?
Well, I think also in your defense, they messed up counseling for you too. Like, mm-hmm. It seems like nothing was untouched by...
No. Ugh. There's nothing. There's not a minute. You know, I go longer and longer periods of time. I'm always aware of all the rules I'm breaking. Always. I have a tattoo on my arm. I have a nose piercing. I drink alcohol. I can list off every rule that I break. And it's becoming less and less of a knowing of that. Especially, I think, as growing up as a child, children are very black and white. We don't really get gray areas very much. And so it was just kind of growing up that way to learn that there's gray areas in the world. In fact, most of the world is very gray. It's very overwhelming. Decision fatigue is not a joke. So Emily P. Freeman, I love her podcast, The Next Right Thing. Yes. Just break it down one little piece at a time and it's okay.
Yes. And she talks so calmly.
Yes. she could read anything and I would be like, it's going to be fine. You can read the dictionary, Emily. It's fine.
And everything's fine now. You know you are always taking pictures. You are taking pictures until your kids are fed up. At least I know I take pictures until my kids are fed up. But what do you do with them? I, on purpose, get the phone with the largest amount of storage just because of the pictures. Well, I can tell you what I do with them is I use Canvas People to get those jokers up on my wall. We just came back from Florida on vacation, and I got just the most amazing picture of my kiddos on the beach, and that will be going on a canvas. So Canvas People will print your pictures, your favorite ones, on canvas, and it gives a really unique and beautiful look to your favorite pictures. I've told you before, but I've got them all over my house. Too many even to tell you. They also make really amazing gifts because you know grandparents want pictures of their grandkids way more than they want pictures of you. You are old news. So now, as a special limited time offer, Canvas People is giving Mom Struggling Well listeners their popular 11x14 photo canvas completely free. That's a big size canvas, you guys. They normally sell for $69.99, but for this week, you're going to pay nothing. All you have to do is cover shipping and handling. So to get your free canvas, text MSW to 484848. You just pay shipping and handling. This offer is not going to last, so text MSW to 484848. That's MSW to 484848. Message and data rates may apply. How do you not just get like a picket sign and go stand in front of the church? Like, how do you not storm the doors?
Well, listen, I went back there last year, actually, because I actually understand the way it works in there, too. When you attack them, they tighten up even harder on the inside. The strategy shouldn't be to go do that. It doesn't work. They actually, that gives them more clout in their mind that Satan is attacking them because they're doing the right thing.
Okay.
The dynamics of group institutions and dynamics of control is all different. I know that group really well. And so to go in and attack, you kind of, it wouldn't work. That's the hard part because yes, I want to, I'm like my sister, I have a sister in there still.
I know.
She's she's married to one of the leader's sons and he treats her really poorly. She doesn't get to speak for herself. My sister who is out, she and I went last August because we wanted to try to see her just to tell her we love her. And we don't get to call her. There's no contact. I mean, I got married. She didn't come. We've had a death in the family. They don't come. Like it's not, I don't think people understand the depth of shunning. It is as though my sister is dead. And so we went back to see her to try to just put our faces in front of her face to remind her and tell her, we don't forget you. We love you. So we figured out where they were meeting and we waited in the parking lot. And,
So they don't have like their own church building or something?
Oh no, they don't. They are like nomadic. They borrow buildings. They rent like conference rooms and meet. We've never had our own space for longer than a year or two at a time. Usually we were like between other churches' services.
Why? What's the thought there?
I think in some ways, I think the Lord has kept it from prospering because he's keeping it from prospering. In other ways, I think there's a lot of embezzlement of funds. And because like there is millions and millions of dollars that there's nothing to show for. And so, but the pastor lives high on the hog. That's such a funny phrase, but no, he does. I don't even know what that means, but I know, I don't even know how that came to be a phrase, but anyway, he does. He's up on the hog really high. Anyway, his lifestyle was very opulent. The newest technology, the new car every couple of years, new house, movie tickets, everything. Meanwhile, you know, like I said, my family didn't have grocery money or book money for school.
Oh my God. I don't know. It's just amazing that it is that people don't go. That doesn't make sense.
Well, and it does eventually happen, but some people it doesn't. And honestly, when you couple zeal for the Lord with a lack of a knowledge and wisdom through scripture, it's what happens.
Okay.
It is because these people were like, we love God, and it's a lot of very zealous people. And then they're like, you will do anything. And you're like, well, I'll just give it. Maybe this time it will work. It didn't. And so I don't know if he just squandered it all, but we never had financially, we were always in a crisis. But yet when you talk to people who have left, and there's a lot of us out there, and we talk about how many hundreds of thousands each one of us has given, it doesn't make any sense. So there's cause for even like, I believe it, like an IRS investigation for the nonprofit situation. And I would be totally fine with that happening and shutting it down.
Okay. So tell me you go to the parking lot, you're waiting for your sister.
Yes. Yes.
Does she know you're coming?
No. We should never tell them we're coming because they would probably not be there. We're very small, little blonde people.
And you're very threatening.
And we're very threatening. And so we just like, honestly, we prayed through the whole day. Our husbands were kind of wary of us doing this, understandably. And they both were like, you're not allowed to go in the building. Don't go into the service. Neither of us had been back since we left. And we knew that it was a spiritual battle. The Lord really, like, we were read through the putting on the whole armor of God and just understanding that it's not our battle to fight. And so we both felt, and we're not charismatic or anything, but we felt the Lord was like, don't engage. Just tell your sister you love her. That's what you're here for. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we just waited. We prayed about where to sit in the car, where to park, because we knew we only had a brief window of time because they didn't want us to see her. So it was all strategy. It was all prayer. And just trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I mean, we parked in three different spots because we didn't know where we would see her coming out the door. And we got out of the car. We just waited and we had literally like a minute and 22 seconds. We ran to her when they were bringing her out, and you would think they were shielding her from paparazzi. Like you would think that. And her husband's getting her in the car. He's blocking us with his body. And he's like, she's my wife. You can talk to me. And I said, she's my sister and she can speak to us if she wants to. And then I just like ducked under his arm and like looked at her in the face. And I said, I love you. We're here for you. And we just said that to her over and over. And that's all he poured accusations out against us and all the reasons why we need to repent and everything. And we just like listened to it and didn't say anything, which was, I feel like the same angel that like kept Abraham from like sacrificing Isaac was like hand over her mouth because she's crazy. And I was like, oh, because I wanted to speak. I wanted to tell everyone in there, you have to get out of here. This is a cult. You're being abused. And so, and it was like, no, this isn't your battle. And I was never more aware of, I'm not strong enough to fight this. I knew I couldn't fight it. God has to fight it. So I stood there and I was just like, I am too small to fight this. My God fights for me. And I wasn't afraid of them, but I was just like, no, but I love my sister and we're here for her.
What was her response? And
she was just like, she didn't really respond very much. She just said, I know. And then she was awkward because you're supposed to be mean to us. So she was just like, I know. And then she didn't want to talk to us, but she would want to if she wasn't surrounded by all these people. So yeah, that's how that went down. I know we were supposed to be there. And then it took us both about a week to physically recover from that because of the, we just experienced so much just exhaustion and adrenaline. And it was very taxing on us, but I'm glad we went back in there. And even for us to see what we came out of, to see how dark it was, because I've never felt more oppression. Because when you're in it, you don't notice, but when you go back and you feel it, it really confirmed that it was wicked. And they were always accusing the outside of being the spiritual warfare people. And I realized we were always being oppressed in there spiritually. And so it was very strange. But so, I mean, that was our 1 minute with our sister last summer.
Yeah. Breaks my heart.
It's tough. Yeah. Yeah. I don't really talk about her very much because I can't deal with it. I can't.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Thanks.
So you guys, a lot of your family is out. You mentioned that your dad left on your wedding day and walked you down the aisle.
Yes.
That's amazing. Yeah. He met your husband on the wedding day.
Yeah, he did. I didn't know. I mean, he'd been kind of wishy-washy with them, but they sent someone to him and said, you're not allowed to go to her wedding. And he basically was like, well, I don't want any more regrets. And he came. It wasn't very sure if he was going to come. And I didn't know. And I was like, you know what? I'm having my life. So I'm getting married. I can't wait for everybody to be here. And I can't wait. And I just told my dad, I was like, I want you in my life. I want you at my wedding. And I want you walking me down the aisle. I'm a little assertive. You haven't picked that up. But I didn't know, you know, I didn't know. And he came that morning and he met my husband, Steve, and it was emotional. And, I picked up the song. We danced together. There was a lot of crying at that part. Cause there's people who were at the wedding who didn't really know. And there was a lot of people who absolutely knew. And they were just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened.
So some people are like, why is everybody so emotional about this?
Yeah, I mean, like people are like crying, ugly crying by the side of the dance floor. And some people are like, wow, that's intense. This is just the father and daughter dance. Like, well, it's a big story. And, you know, he met my husband. He really liked him right away. And I was like, good, you better because he's going to be my husband. That was weird. I mean, it was the opposite. I mean, go from like, everyone's overlording your life to like, I just independently went and like met this guy and was like, yeah, I'm going to marry him with no oversight, you know?
So, that's amazing. Yes.
Yeah. The Lord was looking out for me because I could have easily found another manipulative, 100%. Abusive husband. Like that is 100% what I could have done.
That's normal so for easily. You.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually very normal. And so to find someone that's like, just like my husband, was totally the Lord. Anyway, so that happened. My dad got out. My sister was in my wedding. She got out a little before that, earlier that year. I did not reconnect with my mom until a year after I'd been out of the cult. They did such a thorough job of defaming her that I still thought she was bad. And so it took me a year to like untangle everything. And then we reunited at a women's conference and also it was like a couple of days after my sister got out. The women's conference happened to be 20 minutes from my sister's house. And so we all just like, we're like, hey, let's meet up at the women's conference. My aunt facilitated it all. It was her church's conference. And they were in no way associated with the cult. And my aunt was like, I think you should meet up with your mom at the conference. And before she even finished saying what she was saying, I said, yes. I was like, I already know that. I'm ready to see my mom. And so we've been rebuilding ever since then.
How are things now? Was it like immediately you could just talk about how jacked up that was and you guys were fine, or there's still a lot to work through?
It was actually pretty immediate. My mom and I are pretty head on, like, let's talk about stuff. Everyone kind of goes through their period of time where they're like, they realize that what they got out of was bad and they're still unpacking. What does it mean to be out of this? And what does it mean to go to a healthy church? my mom and I pretty quickly just started talking very candidly about everything that had happened. Now we talk on the phone often. I mean, often. And I go stay with her. And I would say, yeah, and with my sister and I, the same. And my sister was secretly contacting me while she was in there trying to get out.
Okay. How do you secretly, like, how?
Texting me when she wasn't supposed to. Okay. They do have phones. Okay, so that's the other thing that happened with my sister, was she ended up moving to another state as well. I was also writing a blog, and I had this feeling, and you know how sisters are, like, you just have a sister code. And so I wrote the blog for her, and I was writing about how I got out, but I didn't write it very inflammatorily. I prayed about, like, how to be wise about how to write so it wouldn't be attacking, but it was also, like, honest. And so I was keeping that blog, and while I was attending the second church, they were against women doing that. And so they kept trying to discourage me from it. And I was just like, nope, God wants me to write. I'm writing it for my sister. I didn't even know for sure if she was reading it, but I just felt in my heart that she was, and she was. And she said that it helped her. And so I kind of stopped that. I want to keep writing about this, but in another platform, but I was writing for her. And then she started texting me, and she kind of was like coming out of it. And it's kind of a process. So it was between me and, like, our extended family members who were coaching her out. And then she finally, like, left. And we always say you don't leave until the moment you can leave. And I think you understand that. Like, until the minute you had the right amount of courage and the circumstances were right, like, there was no other moment that you could have left. And it was the moment you did. Like, that's it.
Because I left early, and then I ended up getting talked back into going back. I think a lot of times our health, we take it for granted until all of a sudden something changes and we don't know what it is. And then we feel panicky and a lot out of control because we realize we really aren't in control anyway, right? Well, there's a company called Everlywell, and they offer at-home lab tests that help us take control over our own health in ways that are quicker than sometimes waiting to go see specialists and all that. Not that there's anything wrong with specialists. Obviously, we need them. But wouldn't it be nice to find answers on our own to some of our questions regarding our health? So Everlywell offers 30 at-home lab tests. You can test thyroid level, food sensitivity, heart health, all kinds of stuff. And the kit comes with super easy to follow directions. You collect the sample at your house on your own time. And when you send it back, it's processed in a certified lab. The results are read by a physician, and then they're sent right to you digitally within just days. Also, because I know labs, just because it's a bunch of numbers doesn't mean it makes any sense to you, Everlywell helps break down exactly what the results even mean. And then they set up a free discussion with a healthcare provider for you to talk about it if that's something that you'd like to do. I recently did the food sensitivity one, and I should get my results in a couple days, and I'm very interested to see what it says. So for 15% off Everlywell at-home lab tests, visit everlywell.com/MSW and then enter the code MSW. That's everlywell.com/MSW, code MSW, and you'll get 15% off your lab test. Everlywell at-home lab tests. Your answers, your way. In you sharing your story and things like that, have you seen other people leaving cults and abusive situations?
I have. It kind of more helps me work with people who are coming out of abuse because our understanding dynamics. But I had a friend who was in a church out somewhere else, and I was talking to her on the phone, and it was very soon after I left, and I was telling her what happened to me, and she's like, yeah, I'm thinking I need to leave mine. And so it does kind of help people when you collaborate and talk about it. And then my most recent job, it's really helped me have a lot of empathy and compassion for people getting their kids out of a bad situation, whether it's like a custody issue and getting their child out of an abusive home or that kind of thing. That's kind of the people I've been working with for the last few months. And my own experience, my actual life experience versus like a classroom, like it just helps me understand even just how to talk to people when women come in and they're filing that domestic violence and they think, well, this is going to make this happen if I do this. And I just look at them and I'm like, it doesn't matter. You need to think about yourself and your kids and you are brave and you are strong. And like, there's
and
this
you are
extra.
Not bad.
Yeah. And I'm like, you need to do like, and I couldn't tell them what to do, but I would shut down those lies for them. And that was like coming from a place of experience that I don't think I would know other than I had been through it myself, and the doubts and all the things you go through when you have to do a big thing like that, that upsets things. Because when you make the first step, things get worse. Things
don't get better. And it's not a small upset. It upsets the whole life.
It's very bad, but it's towards that redemptive end, and it's important to do it. And so that has helped me help others for sure. And sharing in my like transparency through my pain and everything, it's also, I think it's helped people as well. Just work, like, be honest. I don't know. I always feel like people can be honest with me because I'm honest with them. So, yeah.
There's such a spectrum within the way that you can interpret the Bible, read the Bible, and apply it to your life. And so we see what you've been through, where it's legalism and made up, like not even based on reality, and totally abusive and evil. And then, but we see now in the church this, like, well, in the culture, we want there to be, there's no real truth, like anything goes, and you can just do what you want, and submission doesn't, you know, it makes us uncomfortable. So let's just not even, let's take that out. We'll take out what we don't want, keep what we do want, all the grace and all the love, and love wins, and all that stuff is true, but out of context, it's not. So finding a healthy church must be like really confusing.
Yes.
I don't know. How do you find one? How have you found one?
I think so. This is crazy. When we came to Maryland, we moved on a Wednesday. We were looking online for churches on a Saturday night. We found our church here on Sunday morning and never went to a different church. That is so unusual. And I think some of the things I saw in the church was like diversity of culture for sure, but also diversity of way of dressing. There's outward things I was looking for. So we don't all look the same.
Yeah.
And that's good.
That must be good for you. And like, oh, okay. Look at you living your life.
Because listen, I know there's churches where it's just cultural where you dress up. I can't do it. Like, it's not. I can't. That's fine. But this church, I looked at their website. I went through several search engines. So like 9 marks. And then I looked at Acts 29. And that our church is actually an Acts 29 church.
Okay. So what's 9 marks?
It's 9 marks of a healthy church. I'm not as familiar with that one as much as I am with X29. Mm-hmm. And also looking, and I will say this as a disclaimer, looking through those websites does not make them a healthy church. Like, I found churches through those websites, and I took one look at their website and I was like, there is no way I am going to this church. For me, it was small things. Like, I think this is good advice though, too, because for people who are coming out of being really hurt by a church or scared of church, we have the luxury in the United States of having choices, I think. For me, it was like, I liked that it had its own building because our church was nomadic. And there's a lot of churches, church planting right now. It's like everyone's meeting in the high school gym and we set up the chairs. I will have a panic attack faster than anything if I have to set up a chair. Like, I can't do
You can't
it.
Set, yeah.
And the Lord, I don't want to set up chairs. I want to walk in and be like, I like this church. It's already set up. Yeah. That's kind of first world-ish and selfish of me. But for me, where I was and where I still am, that's very helpful for me. Reading about the leadership, seeing that they also had some women, and I don't want to go all into the whole like controversy of women in leadership, but having women at least acknowledged as part of, you know, something in the church is very wonderful. And seeing that, for instance, our worship leader, he had long hair, and I was like, oh, great. I love it. Like, it was just, there was a spectrum there, and it was a healthy spectrum because there wasn't this is the formula for how you're to live your life. But yet they also taught, this is what the Bible does say, that is black and white. And then it happened to be that Sunday, they had a class on their church. And they only offer it like once or twice a year. And it was the day we showed up. And so we got to go downstairs.
God is so good to you. Yes.
I know. And learn, you know, things that would take months and months to learn about a church. And learn their history. And they had a history of legalism. And I knew, well, they won't go there again, right? And so I learned a lot about them just through that. I felt safe. And those were things I looked for. And then, of course, I spent the first few months like kind of tensely checking everything the pastor said against the scriptures. And yet right away, I signed up for a women's Bible study and showed up. I went ahead and said right away, I want to be on the worship team because I was like, I need to get plugged in or I will never. And so you look for those healthy things. You know, one of my close friends here, she spoke up in one of the first Bible studies and she goes, you know, sometimes I get angry at God. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be okay. I will be okay because there was honesty in the community and it wasn't fake and it wasn't like saying all the right Christian words, because I would often be in my past experiences in women's groups, I would be the only one being so vulnerable, and I would speak and say very deep and hard things because mm-hmm. I needed to, mm-hmm. and it would be met with sort of like crickets mm-hmm. in the moment, or like maybe a message later on about it, but never like that was not the culture. And that was the culture I found in the church, was, you know, vulnerability and love of scriptures, love of truth, mm-hmm. but also like not, we have this set way of doing things.
Okay, so I have another question, though. Like, your family life, minus your sweet little sister, what is it like now that you guys are out of the cult? Are your parents, like, they haven't gotten remarried, I'm assuming?
No. Really close with my sister. My brother got out last year. And
okay. Still so kind of we're fresh.
Still fresh, but he is so mature and strong and discerning. I'm just really impressed with him. We are close, for as you could be under the circumstances. My dad and I struggle. So family dynamics are healing. I've had to learn to be patient and to know that it's not all going to happen overnight, to not try to be in the future in my brain, but just try to be like, here's where we are. And we can just take this one thing at a time. And so that, I mean, we get together when we can. And that's part of why moving closer down south is going to be a part of that, because it's so far away right now and it's been hard to get down to see everyone. So I think we'll be seeing some more rebuilding as we move 5 hours closer, which is a significant chunk of time.
It sure is.
So, yeah.
I just think of Romans 8:28, that he really does work all things
together. Hey, moms. Sometimes the kids don't say yeah. that you're doing
I mean,
a good
I can
job,
see it just as an
really
onlooker.
Are. Have a great week of struggling.
You know, he's just so good to us.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Hmm. Yep. I guess epilogue is I did go back and finish law school. I went back right after we got married, which is not easy to go back to school when you're married. And then I was angry at God for the law degree, which is funny, because I couldn't see that it was a blessing. I thought it was a curse. And then I didn't do anything with it. And then I felt the Lord leading me to take the bar exam, which I was like, okay. So I did. I took the bar exam in 2017 and I passed first try, which was cool.
Was it so hard? That does.
Yes. Yeah. It's terrible. It's the worst. Okay. And I'm no longer licensed in Virginia. So I have to take it again. Anyway.
Are you kidding? Oh no.
It's annoying, but it's what it is. So, you know, I wanted to make sure I told that part because I am an attorney now, and the Lord has really shown me how much that he can use that in a way that can help other people. And that has been this very tumultuous, angry, bitter, all the things until surrender and thankfulness came. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how he's going to use it. I don't think it's going to be conventional. I'm not the climb the corporate ladder type of person. I'm like more like a earthy hippie. I want to help people kind of
You're
person.
You're like an advocate, right? Like I think it's absolutely what it is.
So it gives me a little more oomph behind my name, I guess, and more authority for sure. And so I've been able to see it come out in my latest job. And I'm so thankful the Lord allowed me to get the job I just recently had. I'm sad to leave it. And what's good is I'm sad to leave, because when we left Lynchburg 2.5 years ago, I had lived there for 7 years and I wasn't sad at all. And so the Lord's really healed my connection and like my ability to like latch on to people and emotions and stuff like that. So
that is so encouraging. I have a kiddo who doesn't attach to people. And I think that it's good, at least for my heart, to realize like people can start to love after being hurt.
You can. It's very hard. And what you have to value is that it's more important to be in that community and to lean on each other and know that you risk being hurt, but that in the right environment, it's worth it, because I have been hurt. I've been hurt a couple of big times since I've been here in Maryland. But what I've learned about community is completely worth going through that and then going into it open. Like, I think it's that going in it with your eyes open, knowing, first of all, that God did that for us. We don't deserve anything. So that is, at the end of the day, you know, when I want to retaliate or something, I'm like, if God retaliated every time I acted like a jerk to him, I would not be here. Let's just say that. So, and obviously I'm not saying enable bad behavior. I'm completely against enabling bad behavior. If there's ever a behavior, I will speak against it. But it is understanding that we are going to be hurt and loving anyways. And when I say hurt, I don't mean let people abuse you. I would never say that ever. But I'm saying like, we're going to hurt each other and we're going to need to keep loving each other. Yeah. And that's what we have to be willing to do that.
So good. Well, okay. So I have one more question. What can you not stop talking about?
I was saying like, I love yellow nail polish right now.
Yeah.
It's just like the best. I love yellow. I love bright colors. So I was painting my nails yellow constantly. Like I just couldn't stop doing it. Now, right now they're white with blue hearts on them. So I broke that rule. I am having so much fun with head wraps and doing my hair. Part of, I think, and this is going back to my story, like figuring out who I even am and just kind of having fun with that. And this last couple of years, I've kind of been more bold and able to not try to do what I think other people want, mm-hmm. but what I want. And mm-hmm. what I love is just like super boho and very like thrifted and vintage things and scarves and having so much fun. Like I got a tattoo of a bird just flying free on my arm.
Girl, you need a bird flying free.
Yes. It was just my, it was my free bird. And it was like Psalms 124:7 or one something. And it was like, my soul escaped like the bird out of the snare of a fowler. Like that is me. And, yes.
That's amazing.
If it had not been the Lord on my side. So just kind of having fun with fashion and just expression. I like expressing, you know, creativity. And right now in the tiny house, I don't have an art room. So I just like make up fun outfits and do hair scarves and tattoos and nose rings. And so, yeah, it's fun. I would say if you're trying to figure out who you are, first of all, it's okay if you don't know, because honestly, we're all changing all the time. Who I am today isn't who I am tomorrow. Being comfortable with who you are. And I would say like getting to be in your 30s is the best. I think that's part of just humanity, is the annoying trying to be like everybody else in high school, college, you're kind of figuring it out and you're sort of selfish and weird. And then 30s, you're just like, I don't know, here we are. This is what it is.
Apparently we're adults now. Yes.
Yeah. We got to pay the bills and be boring. Yeah. And I think just having friends who don't shame you and don't try to put pressure on you, I think that's really important. And so if you need to remove people from your life or maybe realize the kind of friendship that is, and it's not the one you want to spend all your time with, and then be okay with, I bought this dress the other day and I hate it today. That's fine. Yeah. I think be patient with yourself. Just figure it out and don't worry about it. Trust my husband yourself. Tells me you can like both things. Cause I'm like, I really love J. Crew, but I love Free People. He's like, that's fine. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay.
I love it. That's good. Sounds like you're in a fun season compared to everything else. I think everything's a fun season.
But... yeah, I think so. The last 6 years have been the best. I mean, well, really the last couple of years have been the best of the last six, but it's not without its ups and downs. You know, I had something happen very triggering last week and I ended up, you know, panic attack, full blown, hyperventilating. It was bad. So, I mean, if that's happening to listeners, it can come out of nowhere. Trauma is weird, but then you get back up from it stronger. For me, I get back up stronger because I realize like, it's not me getting back up anyways. Like it's the Lord. And so it's fine. Like I get to be weak. Like that's okay.
That's really good. Do you ever want to beat yourself up about it and think, I have not made any progress?
Yes. It's a temptation in the moment to be like, I'm such a loser. Like, I can't get over this. And then I realize, first of all, it's good to see that there's places where you need healing. The Lord is showing you, hey, you really have some stuff there that this trigger brought up. But also to see that it's still part of me. I don't know. It's still, there's some comfort in it because I think, I don't know. I've had some people who said to me like 4 months after it happened, 6 months after everything, they were like, you should be fine by now.
Oh,
and I've had some people say, yeah, that was crazy. And that made me feel guilty. And then I had someone tell me it could take you the rest of your life. And that actually feels better. So I think like when it happens, I'm like, okay, you're still healing. It's still okay. Mm-hmm. It helps me remember to rely on God. And I have actually been afraid of getting all the way better because I was afraid I'd wander off from him because I'm a very independent minded person anyways, despite like I was controlled, but I think given my natural tendency, not my trained tendency, is like to wander off and think I can do it myself. Mm-hmm. And when I'm weak, it reminds me of who I need to rely on. And so I actually kind of am glad that the Lord, sort of the thorn in the side thing, like I feel like when it happens, it's startling, but I'm also like, but it reminds me who I look to, and it's not me.
I love that.
So, yeah.
That really is beautiful, as hard as it is. What would you say to, if you have a friend, or like, how do we get people out if we feel like we know somebody who's like this?
So, yeah, it's hard. I've been going through something with someone recently, and it's very frustrating. It has to be their choice at the end of the day.
That's so hard.
You can't. I know. So there's a combination. I think God uses us and our speaking the truth into people's lives, mixed with he's going to have to give them that want to get out of the situation, because, and they have to be ready, because if you extract someone out of a manipulative or abusive situation before they're ready, they're still in that mindset. They're just out of that person's control. And I've seen this happen with people I know who have been kicked out of the cult. They don't believe that they can be a Christian outside of there, so they just go crazy, or their allegiance is still in there, but they just think they're bad and they can't see that they could like move on with their life. And so it's speak the truth in love and trust the Holy Spirit. And when you have the opportunity to speak, be bold, but also understand that you aren't probably going to see that like, oh my gosh, thanks for saying that to me, now I'm going to leave. Although that can happen. I think instead of continuing to, if you see a friend in that cycle of abuse, continuing to give the benefit of the doubt, I think what's hard is saying the abuse word, because you may lose that friendship, and that is something you need to be ready for. But it is the boldness that you need, because I think subconsciously the people who did speak into my life over the years, that was chipping away at my subconscious. Even though I was fighting it on the outside, they were putting reality in front of me and saying, I know that you say like living in the pastor's house gives you independence, but how does living in a pastor's house in a room with like other girls with your schedule dictated to you give you independence? My cousin messaged me that, and I got mad at him because I was supposed to, but in the inside I was like, that's a really good point. And so I think speak it out. Just tell them the truth. Truth wins every time anyways. Mm. It may just take some time.
Yeah.
So
I love that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for reals, we're going to be done. You got to move.
Yes. And you have taken a long time with me. So.
Oh, it's been so amazing. Thank you, Sarah Beth. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Wow. Right. That was really some kind of story. I think it's so encouraging for us to be on the outside looking in and go, wow, God really did move a lot of mountains to get her out and all her family out. She's a lawyer now. She at first thought that that was something to be really angry about, but then she realized God was even in that. So how are you going to struggle well this week based on what Sarah Beth said? Maybe you did go into a career and you really wish you had gone into something else and you're feeling kind of mad about it. Maybe you ask God what his plan was in that. I know for me, I became a teacher before I became a nurse, and I always felt like that was kind of a waste of time. But in nursing, I have been able to create curriculums for these sweet eating disorder clients that I have, and I'm really good at it because I have a graduate degree in curriculum design. So things like that end up circling back around. So like I said before, God, he doesn't waste anything. So ask him how to use that thing that you feel like is a waste in your life this week. Maybe you struggle well this week by joining Sarah Beth in prayer for her sweet little sister who is still really involved in the cult. I know that if I had a family member in a cult, that would break my heart. I can't even imagine. Ladies, maybe you struggle well this week in some healing that you're doing to realize that it takes time. Don't rush it. That doesn't make any sense. You wouldn't look at a wound on your arm and yell at it to be healed up faster. Healing takes time, and you are going to be making steps forward, and you don't even realize that you're making any progress until you have another panic attack or you feel like you're back at square one, but the fact is you're just not. You're just not. You're being healed and you don't even notice it. That's when you ask friends and you ask people who know you and love you and say, I mean, I feel like I'm back at square one. Like Brené Brown says, the story I'm telling myself is that I haven't made any progress. And then let them tell you what's true. Maybe you have a friend who you know is in a situation that is not safe, that is not good. I loved what Sarah Beth said about just telling them the truth, and they may not respond right then, but you also don't know what's going on inside their heart. It may be something that they really need to hear. I know when I was getting married to the guy that I didn't know when I was 22, that I ended up having to leave because he was incredibly abusive. There were just like two friends who said they did not think that was a good idea, and everybody else thought it was amazing. And I think that it had to have taken a lot of courage to tell me that they didn't think that was a good idea. But they did it anyway, and I remember and I'm thankful. And obviously I didn't listen, but I'm thankful that they had the courage to tell me the truth. Maybe you struggle well this week by trying a couple things and seeing if you can figure out who you are, if you're kind of somebody who doesn't really know. I mean, obviously we need to do things that matter, and there's a lot of serious, important, businessy job task stuff that we need to get done in our life, but let's have a little bit of fun. If you're an Enneagram one like me, you need to be reminded to just have fun. So maybe this week you try something that you're not sure if it's something you'd like and see about it. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. All right, ladies, I will be seeing you around the internets. Come over to Instagram and find me on Mom Struggling Well. I love chatting with y'all there. And I have the most fun on stories. I don't know about you guys. I love them. All right, let me pray for our weeks. God, thank you that you're at work even when we can't see it. Thank you that you are the healer and you are at work even when we're sure that not a blessed thing is happening. God, thank you for the places in our lives where we are weak and it keeps drawing us back to you. For me, it's definitely depression. For Sarah Beth, it's the trauma of this entire situation. Lord, help us to look on those things with an amount of fondness, knowing that they drive us back to you, and that is where we are the safest and the most blessed and the most whole. God, please open our eyes to be more alert and sensitive to you at work around us. In Jesus' name, amen.